Times Heroes, Season 2, Episode 46. My name is James, and I'll be your Game Master. Let's introduce our players.
Hi, my name's Molly, and I play Eden, the noble human sorceress slash wizard.
Indeed.
I'm Alex, and I play Dupe, the dwarf fighter.
I'm Amanda, and I play Galena, the dwarven bard.
And I'm Mark. I play Geesh, the human fighter paladin.
Sadly, Winter is not here this evening, but the show will go on. And last time on Sometimes Heroes, y'all sabotaged a giant rune, hopefully for the best, and then went to go talk to Quinn, who is currently laying sprawled out exhausted on his little cot at the top of the Black Tower, and sitting next to him on the edge of the bed is Kui, all porcelain skin, long straight black hair, three very sharp horns and sharp fingernails, gently stroking his head, looking calmly up at Eden, who just stepped through the window. The rest of you, I believe, are unsteadily flying around at this tower.
No, I definitely, smacked into Eden's head in, a few seconds.
Oh, you're just coming in?
Yeah, I'm just womp.
Okay.
I thought you were, smashing into things in the background.
Yeah, trying to make it into the window. And after the initial, tension-filled, hello, Eden. Hello, Kui. I don't know. And it's just
That's exactly how I talk.
Hello, Kui.
I just want to remind you that last time you were like, let's let Eden go in first. But if you want to not do that, that's fine.
I mean, she can go in first, but I'm definitely following in close behind.
Oh, okay. Eden, as you delicately alight on the floor after stepping in through the window, a puffin slams into your back and makes you take a step forward.
Ow.
Are the rest of you just filling up this room? Or are you just letting Galena be a bird in there because her flying is dangerous?
Well, it is a small tower room, so I'm going to wait to see what Eden does before I enter. So I'm going to unevenly and awkwardly hover near the window.
Okay. Eden, as you are standing there and this bird plaps into your back, Kui looks up, greets you, and says, I'm pleased to see you again. You look positively radiant, and your appearance like a warm breeze on a chill evening. Also, your friend, you seem to have a collection of birds.
Okay.
You seem to have an owl on your shoulder and a puffin just came in.
Oh, I know what she means. That was more of a reaction to what she said before that. Your appearance is like a warm breeze and your presence is like a million rainbows and blah, 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 blah.
She you know what else is like a warm thick. Breeze? Whoa, I don't know what you're saying. What are you talking about?
Farts.
A fart?
Oh, who knows? Sorry. Maybe she's calling you a fart.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry, did I interrupt something here?
Oh, no. Your brother, Quinn, he is resting, his labor complete. Truly magnificent, the feat he has accomplished. Some even thought it impossible, but I had faith.
Yes, I can imagine he is extremely tired, exhausted after all the work he's done.
Also, I'm going to say that Galena's going to copy Eve and try to sit on Eden's other shoulder.
Dexterity check. Okay, acrobatics, actually.
Got this. What is the acrobatics of a puffin?
That's a good question. Let's go with +2.
Whoa, I did a critical success.
Well, okay. Do you want to be graceful? Because you are.
I gracefully landed on her head and made a nest with her hair.
Eve looks up at you and owl squints at you like, who's this bird horning into my territory? Also, I'm pretty sure you've just sold that you actually are just a bird that Eden has.
Yes. I'll puff up and ruffle my feathers and then sort of settle down comfortably.
You've got a bird nest in your hair now, Eden.
Yes, I seem to attract all sorts of wildlife. I'm just really good with animals.
So as this very important bird exchange is happening, can we hear Kui from outside the window, James?
Do you guys want to try to be close enough to overhear? Because that would involve a stealth roll. Because right now you guys are kind of hurtling around. You're high up. There's wind. It's kind of hard to hear inside. You'd have to go up to the window and peek.
Okay, sure. I'll do a stealth roll. Mm-hmm.
Make it at disadvantage as you are not used to flying.
Maybe it's going to be yes.
I think it's fun when the first time you do anything weird, you get disadvantage doing it. I
rolled a 9.
Okay, so we're going to continue in this conversation. You're going to hear it, but eventually she's going to notice that you're there. as you start falling and try to put a little bit of oomph under you, and you just pop your head into the window dumbly. All right, Eden. So she said he's working hard, must be sleepy.
So I couldn't help but notice all of the crowds gathering outside the town walls. Do you want to tell me what that's about?
She does one last fingers through the hair thing and then stands up and looks out the window. And basically, you're in the highest point in the city and can see out every direction. And yeah, there's like this big loose circle around the city of little groups of people with torches. And she says, ah, the people of this fair country are working in their own defense. They are implementing Quinn's project.
I think you know what I mean. What exactly are you planning on doing out there? What exactly is your end game?
Oh, so forward. Though I find you personally enchanting, the details of said project are secret. To divulge more would put the security of Umbria at risk. Speaking of the security of Umbria, the king has made quite the offer and he's been trying to reach you. He intends to offer you the Weird Stone Keep should you be able to liberate it.
Out of character, the what? The Weird Stone Keep?
Mm-hmm.
What is that?
That is the castle that the orcs want, and it's apparently full of ghosts, and Glenna was near it before, I think?
I was in front of it.
In front of it.
In,
that's
like,
what
the
it
courtyard.
Is.
Well, boo, a haunted castle? That sounds horrifying. I don't want that.
Well, of course, the goal is to liberate it. Whomever does so would be given the lands and titles afforded. I'm sure the titles don't matter quite so much to you. But the exemption from Dyth for the next 100 years might. I feel your group may be up to the task. You've been quite accomplished. I've been watching your deeds.
I'll bet you have.
Very closely.
Well, seeing as I was such an important part of this project, as I'm sure you know, and considering all the work that I did, I think I deserve to know what's going on here.
Roll a persuade. That seems like a good check for that.
Okie dokie.
Glenna will squawk in agreement.
You've got two bird
actually,
backups.
When I was listening to puffin sounds, they do sound kind of like cows. They go, "Rawr."
You actually looked up puffin noises?
Yep.
Of course.
Rawr.
Ooh, Eden rolled a 20 in persuasion. Not a natural 20, but a 20 nonetheless.
She breaks her composure for just a second. She's been sort of gliding around the room, looks at you, and you see a moment of disdain, pity, cross her face. You are so close to the end, and my mother's initial plan was too cruel. I'm pleased you forced her to take another path. Now, when she ascends, Medina and the Vlovale will be intact for her to... At this point, there is a rush of air as Geege pops up into the window.
Why would you even have her roll then, if I'm just gonna, like, ruin it with my bad roll?
She wouldn't have told you the whole plan,
what?
But she might have let a little bit of something slip right there. She looks over and says, oh my, what a neat trick. You must have grown much more powerful since I've last seen you.
Is she talking to me?
Mm-hmm.
Why, yes, I have grown extremely powerful.
She glides over to you during this time, and
as she passes,
does a kind of noticeable turn of the head, tilt, and a sniff. And she says, oh. And she quivers and says, yes, you have.
Creepy!
James,
mm-hmm.
How many windows are in this tower, in this room?
Let's say 8.
How many
sort of
windows,
equidistant around.
How many windows are big enough for me to fit through?
All of them, but they involve like a squeeze action, so you are vulnerable for a second as you sort of like shimmy your way in.
So where is she at? She's just stepped towards Eden? Okay, so now that she's done that, I want to fly to the window on this side of the room, around the outside of the tower.
You fly to the other side of the room and start going in the window?
No. I mean, I know she knows that I'm there, but I'm going to fly around to the other side. I'm just going to fly around the outer perimeter of the tower and hang by the window.
Okay.
Not only making an effort to hide myself.
Yeah, her eyes just sort of track you as you go. But she says, Eden, you should know, powerful though you are, this city may not be a safe place for you much longer.
Yeah, no kidding, Sherlock.
A somewhat unsavory acquaintance of mine will be here soon to ask myself and Quinn what he can do about a temple that seems to be locked for some reason. I believe it was most unwise to leave witnesses. She gestures down to your pack, where you know your scrying orb is, and says, may I?
No.
Oh, well then please, I would recommend you take a gander at where you left those poor souls.
Oh, boy. Eden will cautiously dig for the orb and study it closely.
Do we know how many uses we got on that scrying orb, James?
Daily.
Oh, okay. Huh. I will drift in through the window, I guess, that's next to the table, and place my feet down so I'm not flying. And he will pipe up, we don't need an orb. They were in an alleyway, unless, I mean, they probably moved by now.
That's what she's saying. Use the orb so you can, like, be in the alleyway and look at what's happening.
Oh. Well, then Eden can just continue the action.
Okay, I'm attempting to use it.
You remember where that was, and you activate the orb, and you give it the arcane coordinates. You look into the orb, and you can see from a point, you know, normal head height, looking out into the alleyway. And there are several Searing Rose paladins standing over the two kneeling figures. You recognize them as the soldiers you quote, rescued from the Unbreakable Temple. They are kneeling with a faint circle around them. You can hear the man babbling panicked descriptions of you, and the woman nodding in assent and adding some details.
Oh, well, that's just wonderful.
It seems you've made a powerful enemy this day, and he is almost here. You begin to hear heavy bootsteps coming up the stairwell. Got maybe 10 seconds?
Oh, God. Galena, you might want to fly away. While you still have the chance.
Galena thinks about it.
You guys are all mushroomed up, by the way, so you can talk.
Okay, I will mushroom to her, Galena. Unless you don't plan on remaining a puffin, I would fly away if I were you.
Galena thinks, I got your back. I don't want to leave you.
All right, well, we might all be dead, but... if so, it was lovely getting to know all of you.
Before something happens, has it been about a minute's worth of conversation, James?
Sure. Yeah.
I would like to use Know Your Enemy on Kui.
Absolutely. What do you want to know about her?
What is her... is her current HP greater than, less than, or equal to mine?
Greater.
Is her AC greater than, less than, or equal to mine?
Less than.
And is her dexterity greater than, less than, or equal to mine?
What's your dex?
My dex is the larger dex number, right? My dexterity is 14.
Hers is larger then.
Really? Okay. I'm glancing at Eden, and I say real quick, I mushroomed her. Are you going out the window or are you staying?
I'm gonna stay. I'm not gonna run now. But I wouldn't blame any of you for running. But I feel like I need to stay and face whatever this is.
Okay then. He's just going to have Eden's back because she's the glass cannon and he always tries to stick by her. So he's going to chill at the desk. And as he does so, he's going to investigate the desk.
Okay. So before this goes down, you're going to look at the desk?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One moment, please.
I'm just doing a scan across the desk. I'm not rifling anything around. Unless something really catches my eye.
Make an investigation as you try to figure out what's worthwhile. As there's just a bunch of scrolls with spell runes on them.
Ugh, I rolled an 8 investigation. It's going to be one of those nights.
There's a bunch of scrolls with spells junk on them. Probably some of this is important.
That's what I figured.
Like, if you knew magic, you might be able to suss something out. Or if you stole this.
No. Okay.
Kui looks around, and when you don't leave, you all just, like, do eyes at each other, and then everybody just, like, firmly sets that they're staying. Dupe, you are also... in on this hearing, do you want to come in, or do you want to stay outside?
I'm going to stay outside and try not to, like, bash into the walls and stuff.
Even the most mundanely aware person knows that magic users have to concentrate on spells that they're maintaining. If Eden, like, perchance got slapped right now real hard, she might not be able to make you fly anymore, and then you would plummet from where you are. Just
but
take
aren't
that into
I inside
effect.
The room at this point?
Mm-hmm. But someone's about to be in that room with you.
Flight spells require concentration, and if your concentration's broken, people who were flying will no longer be flying.
Oh, shit. I mean, oh, snap. Oh, oh, codswallop.
Codswallop? How dare you?
With this in mind, Geesh will mushroom to Dupe and Sariel to quickly come around to the window where he is, and he will, in case Dupe does not want to come through, he will pull his rope out and secure his... he'll whisper to his fey rope, tie yourself to the table, and hang out the window.
Oh, okay.
Just in case they want to continue to stay hidden.
Yeah, that works. I'll do that.
All right. You put one hand on the rope just in case you stop hovering. Gij, you glance at the desk. Galena, are you doing anything with this time, or are you still just being the best verb?
I'm being the best verb. I'm proudly and bravely sitting on Eden's head.
Okay. So the tromping of boots gets louder. You can tell that it's three heavy people. And
I glare at Kui as if to say, even though this isn't entirely true, as if I'm trying to say, I'm not afraid of you or whoever is coming up the stairs right now.
Kui looks momentarily surprised and then backs up from you and starts gliding over towards Quinn as if to take a seat next to him and says, I so hoped you would survive this, but what can be done?
Is that a threat?
Oh no, merely a statement of fact.
Well, we'll see about that, won't we?
Right as you say that, there is a martial rap at the door and a voice heavily tinged with Gij's accent. Excuse me, we have need of your assistance. Please open the door.
I think they're talking to you, ho. I'm joking. I don't think Eden would say ho.
Trollop?
I think they're talking to you.
She sits on the bed, looks back at you. Would you like me to let them in?
I don't care what you do.
Gij will put his arm out and then motion Eden. He's like, maybe you should get the door, Eden.
Are you nuts?
No. Go ahead and get the door, because the door's right next to a window, right, James?
The door is maybe 10 feet away from a window.
Basically, he's going to mushroom to Eden that he's fairly close to Kui, and even though Kui's probably strong, whoever's there may not want Kui to come to harm. Like, this is just not a good situation for fight, and they probably don't want to throw down in here, whoever it is.
Fair enough. All right, Eden will march toward the door, and we'll open it.
You unbar the door and throw it open, and behind it is a man with just the worst blonde bowl cut you've ever seen. He's kind of wiry and old. And he's wearing Knight of the Searing Rose plate. And he looks at you a little confused and then just fairly, very calmly says, you weren't what I was expecting, but I'm afraid to say you're under arrest for treason against Umbria and humanity itself. And he draws his sword.
Whoa, that is quite a charge. Would anyone mind explaining to me how on earth I managed to commit treason against all of humanity?
You will explain on your knees and in chains.
Oh, I don't think that's necessary.
This is by order of Ares Lightholder, with the authority given to me by Palor himself.
Oh, okay. Well, that changes everything.
So, who's Ares Lightholder?
This is, so far as you can tell.
Oh, this guy is Ares Lightholder. This guy, and stand in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to pipe up and say, well, by the authority granted me by Saloon, she's all right. So, unless Palor and Saloon want to sort this out, I don't think you can do anything. Yeah, I'm going for it.
Okay.
I'm going to poop at him.
I think we're doing something James did not want us to do, and he's kind of at a loss.
I'm pooping at him like this.
Are you flying over him to poop, or are you just pooping in his general direction?
No. I put a picture of a puppet puffin' pooping. It's like projectile.
It's projectile poop.
All right.
Oh my god.
Gij, I want you to roll persuasion with advantage. And basically, you are aware that paladins are not the most accommodating of folk, and the Searing Rose are the least accommodating of folk.
Mm-hmm.
The best you are going to do is befuddle him for a moment.
Okay.
But the fact that he's about to get pooped on by a bird is helping you.
So this is persuasion, right?
Mm-hmm.
At advantage. I rolled a 17.
He turns to you, calm face, and then a bunch of poop hits his cheek, and he just stops, and you can just see his face twitching. Like, he doesn't know how to deal with this, but he doesn't want to just scream at you. He's trying to maintain his composure. You guys have a moment to act.
You think we should leave?
As this one
thinks.
As this Lord Seeker of the Searing Rose just twitches in anger.
How long is Gij's rope?
It's 60 feet.
Yeah, 60 feet.
I would say it's 60 feet.
It basically almost goes to the ground.
Oh, is there a window like in the like stairway area they are?
Yeah, there's a window 20 feet down because the stairway is spiral up around the tower. I mean, inside the tower, but on the outside.
Can I reach it and still have the rope?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to hang on to that windowsill, but while still holding on to the rope.
And Sariel's a bird, right?
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't really require the rope.
No.
Geesh will mushroom to the rest of the group. I think we should probably make that stairway wet and shiny, i.e. douse it with water and then drop, fill it with lightning.
As in the stairway behind the door?
As in the door, just basically we fill that hall with water and then you just fill it with lightning and then we'll just bottleneck them and just murderize them.
How are we going to fill it with water?
Well, obviously, Sariel will turn our puffin into a non-puffin who will then throw water in there.
Galena, do you want to be a not-puffin?
No, but if it's the only way I can become back to a dwarf.
Unfortunately, yes, that is the only way.
Or we could just close the door and leave.
That works too.
I don't know. When Geesh is thinking of this plan, Galena thinks that in response and waits for everyone to decide what they would like to do. Because if everyone else wants to leave, I'm down. But if people don't want to leave, I'll turn back into a dwarf.
Let's do the lightning thing, but let's hurry before I change my mind.
I think maybe you want to slam the door. Out of character. James, are we just like making you agonized by the fact that we're going to go into a fight?
Oh, no. This is happening. If you want to fight these guys, fight these guys.
Because I'm just trying to think, how do we get around this? And I'm getting to the point where I just kind of want to murder hobo through it.
Because you can always just take this castle if you can do it, which you can, as Geesh, be like, do I think we can take however many hundreds of soldiers are here?
And really, out of character, I really want to surprise the hell out of Queen and be like, yeah, now what?
Yeah, I think Eden has the most to lose, so I would probably just kind of follow her lead.
It's up to you, Eden.
I like the way this dwarf thinks. All right. We're slamming this door, and we're fleeing.
Nope, leaves.
The door opens, he declares that you are an enemy of the state, and then a bird poops on him, and Geesh yells, and he gets flustered, and you just close the door on his pooped face, and throw the latch. And immediately, the door starts splintering as a sword hits it. The sword aglow with that, like, dark red light.
Ew.
All right, time to go.
It seems like it'll be momentarily through it. Do you guys want to fly away?
Yeah.
Yep.
Galena starts flapping out of Eden's hair.
Flap, 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 flap. Okay. Is anybody doing anything as you leave?
Yeah, I want to do something, but I'll let Eden go first.
I mean, I'm just piecing. I don't know what you're trying to do.
Can I see what they're doing in the stairway?
You can hear everyone's thoughts, so you know what the party's doing, even though you're not on the same floor anymore. You look in the window, you can see the two guards have, like, backed up. Think almost like the scene where Kylo Ren is getting his hissy fit on and slashing the consoles. The two stormtroopers are like, let's not be here. But Ares is just, like, hammering on the door, and he's doing a good job of it.
Oh, how good of a job.
He will be through it in a round.
Oh, shit.
6 to 10 seconds.
I guess my action would kind of depend on everyone else's.
I mean, I'm leaving. I don't know about the rest of y'all.
Should I just take my action now, James?
Yeah, there's no reason you should wait for other people.
I would like to write off that persuasion that I rolled. And as I jumped up onto the table towards the window, I shout towards Kui. I say, Kui, you and your mother gave us her word that we would not be interrupted carrying out her plans. He then slips his finger under his blindfold, tugs on his bottom eyelid, and sticks his tongue out and jumps out the window.
I'm so confused, so is Kui.
So basically, he's shouting loud enough to say that the things they've been doing was her plan and the Queen's, the Everlasting Empress's plan.
Oh, okay. So I'm going to say that this is actually a deception.
Okay. All
right. Because it's not like your last thing was a crit or anything. It was just
right.
A success.
Can I say it's an advantage? Because he's still befuddled and it looks hardcore like we've been conspiring with her and he did not expect us to be up here. Like, to him, it looks like, hey, these horrible criminals were up here having this secret meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. So, at advantage, deception. I rolled a 20, James.
Okay. Cool.
And I drift out the window as I do it, giving her an anime up yours.
Kui was looking a little smug as you all appeared to have changed your minds about standing your ground. Her head snaps to look at you like, what? Dawning realization on her face that turns pretty quickly into a frown as you hop out the window. What is everybody else doing?
Flapping.
Galena flaps out the window. Flap, 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 flap.
I guess Dupe and I are holding my rope as we fly away. Unless Dupe wants to let it go and jump in that window after them.
I don't know why, but I really like the idea of these two flying fighters clotheslining somebody in the air.
It's a new double team.
Aww.
It's got room to grow. It's got legs.
We'll work it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to try to fly away as ungracefully as possible.
Look,
it's actually a lot easier with the rope.
Yeah, we're both leaning out of the rope. It's going to be a lot better.
I'd prefer to be, like, completely screwing up Guiche as I epically fail.
I like the idea that, like, you're like, this is so much easier, and then Guiche is like, oh my god, this is so much harder.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Eden, you are the last one in the room. Your brother lays asleep. His work lays scattered over his desks.
Is there even the slightest chance that within the next couple of seconds I might be able to dive over and grab whatever, just whatever I can? Whether
Absolutely.
It's paperwork. Oh, hell yeah. Okay, well then I'm going to try.
All right, roll either an acrobatics or a sleight of hand, whichever one you feel is more appropriate.
I will try sleight of hand.
Okay.
Ow. Ow.
Eden rolled a 3.
Do you have inspiration?
He's asking if you want to use inspiration.
No, I know what he's asking. Okay, yes, this is important enough that I will use inspiration.
All right, roll again.
Watch me get a critical fail this time. Woo! She rolled a 20. I mean, I rolled a 20.
Not natural, but still a 20. So Eden, you just don't run. You just fly across the room, launching yourself Superman style towards a window and grab a bunch of papers with your hands, just flinging them out the window. And as they are falling through the air, you are looking at them and you point Eve at one and she goes and nabs it. And you're sure that this is the final product.
Oh, hell yeah.
And you guys soar off into the night. The dawning sun just cresting the horizon as a bunch of unsteady flyers go through the sky. Where are you going as you are about to be very exposed?
That's an excellent question. Where the F are we going? We need to go someplace safe, and pretty much nowhere is safe right now.
Can I see the map of the city?
Yes.
Okay. And where are our other companions at, our NPC friends?
They are somewhere in the alleyways near the South Gate.
So we were previously staying at the Golden Dragon, the Jade Dragon?
The Golden Dragon, and you guys left that place because it was a murder scene.
Hmm. Okay then. Shoot. I'm going to say, as we're flying, I'm going to try and quickly descend to the point where I can get cover by some trees. I imagine there's trees in the courtyard around the tower.
Not really. There's not really any trees in this entire town.
Well, then I'm going to suggest that we try and get to Low Town because there's probably that's probably where the dreck of the city live. And I imagine it'd be easier to disappear there if we have to stay in this town. Does anyone mushroom opposing ideas or?
I don't have any better ideas.
Dupe? Amanda?
I'm a puffin.
You have a dwarf brain. You can have opinions.
I don't really have an idea.
They wanted us to get the Weirdstone Keep?
The king okay, of Umbria.
So that offer is not official yet then, right?
So far as you know, it's a floating offer for everyone. Like, if anyone was able to do this, he would be cool with it. But he was planning to specifically ask Eden, because Eden has done some cool things lately and is a noble.
I mean, I believe that it's true. I just sort of thought at the time that Kui was bringing it up as a sort of distraction. So I don't think Eden is too concerned about this right now.
Do we know where the king is currently, James?
It would stand to reason he is somewhere within the Black Keep.
Well, should we try and find the king before we leave the Black Keep?
That's kind of what I was thinking, but it also sounds like a bad idea.
Well, I think pretty much everything, any direction we could take, is a bad idea at this point. So we may as well just pick the least bad idea.
I mean, Guiche has suggested that we should speak to either Quinn or the king. So in this case, I would say if we can speak to the king, get his favor, you know, they would have a real hard time. Serene Rose would have a hard time coming after us in his own kingdom, I think.
That True. Would be correct.
So after Dupe has made the suggestion, Guiche will say, let's perhaps search out the king before we leave the keep.
All right, I'm with you.
Eden, you might know where the king's chambers are, and since it's dawn, that's probably where he is. But what role would that be? History?
Well, how would she know where his chamber is?
Because she's been hanging out at the keep for a while.
But wouldn't that just be her remembering something?
Well, it just matters whether she would have found out, because she hasn't actually, in-game, found it out.
I guess it'd be like a really simple history roll, right? Like yeah. In case maybe someone mentioned it. Okay.
You want to make a check and see?
Yes. Eden rolled a 13 in history.
You are aware that the king wakes up before dawn every day. He is known for it and goes to spar in his garden.
To spar?
Mm-hmm.
With whom?
With the master of arms, usually, you would assume.
Oh, cool.
Well, we've got two buddies here who spar him.
I mean, if that floats the boat, yeah, we can do that.
All right, let's go ruin the king's morning.
All right, so you guys fly down into a nook just under the east wall of the keep, where it becomes pretty obvious right away that they have torn up the ground and imported some dirt so that they can actually plant plants in a natural garden-y looking way.
Hmm.
And you see the king with a simple white shirt on, trousers, boots, and holding a blunted sword, currently exchanging blows with a older soldier. And as you circle above the light just cresting the horizon, you know that like all they need to do is look up and then you're just a bunch of very suspicious floating people.
All right, well, no time like the present. I mean, we may as well just land. What else are we going to do?
Gige will fly towards Eden and say, so, you know where you're going with this? Do you need some assistance?
Oh, I had no idea where we were going with this. I was just going
to
wing it.
He gets hardcore flashbacks to his time with Philip and says, all right, I'll assist.
You're too kind. Him. Thank you.
Yeah, I know. That's what I do. Anyway.
So what are you doing?
Basically, we're going to approach the king and talk to him. And if Eden needs help, Keej will sort of help try to steer the conversation.
Okay, guys. You appear above the courtyard. Are all of you coming in or just Keej and Eden?
I don't really want to roll too deep. I feel like that'd be kind of threatening.
You want to just land on a nearby roof?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
What is Sariel currently?
Sariel is an owl or a crow? No, she turned into a crow.
Okay, he will motion to her and have her, like, go ahead and just land on my shoulder. Because just, you know, just maybe you need the druid to drop bad heels all of a sudden. And then also he gets to have a bird. And then we look majestic as heck as we just fly down into this courtyard. Birds on our shoulders.
All right, so Eden, Gish, and a number of birds. Three birds? Yes.
I guess yes, if our puffin wants to come along.
Yes.
Appear in the courtyard, this small garden, with Good King Solemn and his Armsmaster, who both turn to you when this happens, and the Armsmaster immediately steps in front of the king, like kind of doing that like mom in the car hand, and says, what is this? Be ye assassins?
Yeah, because if we were assassins, we would totally just announce, yo, we're assassins, we're here to kill ya. Although, I don't know, maybe we would.
Please tell me that's not in character.
Have a flair for the dramatic.
No, that is totally out of character. Anyway, Eden will immediately drop to one knee and say, just immediately start talking. Your Majesty, we are so sorry to drop in on you like this, but we have a matter that we need to speak with you about, and it is most urgent.
Literally drop in.
Yeah, the king pushes his armsmen out of the way, basically. Don't you recognize the fair Eden, Milan? What an entrance. You keep me waiting for a whole month, and now you just appear out of the sky while I'm half-dressed? Interesting approach. He does a quick, like, hand up, like, stop kneeling.
Okay, Eden will slowly rise. I like to do things the unconventional way.
I was going to say Gish had lowered his head and removed his hat, but at this he will start to put his hat back on.
Oh, I assumed Gish followed suit.
Yeah, Is it?
Okay, yeah. You are able to put your hat back on. The king looks around. I didn't know you had so many birds.
Oh, that wasn't really intentional. I guess I just have a way with them and keep accidentally collecting them somehow.
He scratches the thick white stubble on his face and says, I always thought that magicians, mages such as yourself, even powerful ones, only had one familiar. Is your friend also a wizard beneath all that armor?
He points to himself. Oh, me?
Yes. Oh, who are you?
Gige will hold his hand out. Oh, God. I almost want to be slaving. No, he'll just hold his hand out and say, I'm Gige Loosebolt, Paladin Initiate of Silver Crescent.
Are you, like, trying to shake his hand?
Oh, wait. Would that be inappropriate? That might be inappropriate.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. He won't do that.
what would be appropriate is like a short bow at least.
Yeah, so I'd give the short bow and state the name and rank.
Ah, I didn't know the Silver Crescent was sending its agents here. But you are, of course, welcome. There have been some disturbing rumors that I would like to speak with you about later. But first, my guest, Miss Milan. I've heard tell of your bravery facing some creatures in Medina. Some creatures of foul darkness. And having defeated them.
Oh, wow. Word travels fast, doesn't it?
Well, it was. What was it? He looks over at the armsman, and the armsman's like, 2 months, sire. Ah, yes, 2 months. Since then, I'm sure you've done many great things, but I was going to propose. This is a dire time for my people, and should my people fall, Medina would be in grave danger. So I was presuming that your filial duty would press you into my service.
Okay, I hope this isn't too stupid of a question. What does filial mean?
It's duty to elders, basically. But what he is trying to get across is that, if you are truly a noble that's going to protect your family, like, you would be into this as well.
Yes, yes, of course, Your Majesty. I would have it no other way.
And I don't know if you are aware of this true tactical situation, but we currently have a true weakness in the Weirdstone Keep. If the orcs are able to wrest it from their undead kin, they would have a path behind our lines in which they could strike at Black Hill unimpeded by the majority of our forces.
So what would you do in order to avoid this?
Well, I would have you go take the keep yourself and inform our forces when you do. A very small contingent of men could hold it against thousands. And, of course, you would be compensated. You would become the liege of said lands, do all of its tithes, and lord of its populace.
Oh, snap.
So, out of character, I don't know if you have this drawn or you want to explain it to us, James. Geographically, so how does that work that the Weirdstone Keep would give them advantage?
Let me bring up the map, because that's what the listeners can see. No. So, there is a large northern border between Umbria and the Preshwai. That is currently this huge skirmish zone, and there's some mountains to both sides, both the west and the east. And the east mountains are kind of a barrier, and they only need to patrol up until the mountains, and they're fine. But if the Weirdstone Keep is a pass through those mountains, and so if the orcs took it, they could just like walk around the Umbrian lines.
And where is the Weirdstone Keep on the map? Over here?
Yep.
Okay. All right, cool. That makes sense. And just once more out of character, do we all know that he has like an unsteady alliance with the Hobgoblins? That the Kingdom of Umbria has an unsteady alliance with the Hobgoblins?
Oh, so far as you know, it's a very steady alliance. It's near 150 years old.
Okay.
Doesn't get much steadier than that.
Right. All right. Okay. I just need to see that for context.
Mm-hmm. Check out our map on Patreon.
Yeah.
You don't need to pay nothing to see it.
If you want to put us back on the map. So what was the last thing that was said before I interrupted?
You would become Lord Liege of all the populace kind of thing going on.
Right.
And she went, wow.
Eden will just say, of course, Your Majesty. It would be an honor.
Liege will place his hand on Eden's shoulder. And before I open my face, what exactly is it, James? It's just a circle of giant runes that are being placed around the city.
Mm-hmm.
And, what, I mean, because that wasn't in the last game, what does the workforce look like that's doing it? Was it humans? Was it hobgoblins?
Humans, dwarves. Goblins, hobgoblins, mostly humans.
Okay, then. Guige will say, Your Majesty, if it's not rude to ask, what are those runes that are being placed around the city?
Oh, is that happening already? Goodness. Armson, please clean my sword. And he hands the sword to the man who just folds it against his chest and bows. And King Solemn actually turns to one of the walls, which has a stairway on it up to the outer wall, and gestures for you to follow him.
Sure.
How the hell does he not know that all that's happening? How could you miss it?
What's happening in the middle of the night?
That's why we're going to tell him things. Also, I would like to do Know Your Enemy on the King.
It's not hard, since he was currently sparring.
Yep.
Go for it. What do you want
to know? So, he's not wearing his armor, so is his AC going to translate to what he would be wearing in his armor? Or?
It would not.
Okay.
You were getting his unarmored AC.
Okay. So what I'm going to ask is his current HP less than, greater than, equal to me? Minus 72.
What's your HP?
No, 77. Lower than me. What is his strength? My strength is 16.
Same.
And what is his... what's his extent? Oh, what's his fighter level? Can I tell if he's a fighter or not?
His fighter level is 9.
Oh, so he's a bit higher than me. Okay. Yeah, right? No. Yes. So he and I would be the same if I didn't have that level in cleric. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we will follow him up this stairway.
So you follow him up this stairway along the wall, this little switchback, get up to the ramparts, looking over. Some guards see the king and freak out and bow. But he just goes up to the edge of the wall and looks over, looking at the work being done down there. And as you guys can see now, there's this two large, deep trenches that some of that are now being filled in with just dirt on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And between the two of these lines are just numerous runes. And he just slaps his hand on the stone, the black stone of the wall, and says, "By Paylor, what an undertaking. Well, my good Lady Eden, we may not need you."
So what exactly is this all supposed to accomplish?
It is meant to be a finishing blow when they siege the city. Grago won't be able to resist attempting to take back what he thinks of as a monument to orcish greatness. They'll come, try to starve us out, but once they're truly and well encamped, they'll be destroyed in one fell swoop, and then we'll sally forth, slaying the rest of them.
You'll have to forgive me, Your Majesty. I'm not as well-versed in runes and magic as Lady Melon, but how does it work?
Some vast evocation spell. To harness the energy underneath the earth, but without letting it get out of control. I'm told the foundation of this city is exceptionally strong.
Okay. Geege will now mushroom to the rest of the group. Should we just tell him that we think the Hobgoblins are trying to sabotage this, and that they have nefarious plans? Because Geege is of the mind that we probably should level with this guy, and he'd make things really easy if he was on our side. But we don't know if he's, you know, Geege doesn't believe he's in on the Hobgoblin plan.
Probably not, no.
Yeah. Does anyone want to suggest otherwise?
Just so you know, Eden, you have the finished layout. You've got the manual.
And how did I get that?
You threw all the papers out the window and Eve snatched the laptop.
Oh, that's right, that's right. Yeah. I kept remembering the first horrible roll and forgot that I used inspiration. Okay, yeah, holy crap. I need to take a look at that ASAP.
Do you want to try to read it as the king is admiring his people's fine work?
Yeah, I suppose so.
All right, make an arcana check.
All right.
Geege, are you going to do anything while Eden sets to studying for a second? As the king just sort of grimly, but with a slight smile, looks out onto the horizon, the sun making him look especially majestic in the morning.
Well, I was waiting to hear if anyone suggests I shouldn't try and give him the lowdown of the story. And now that I see Eden is inspecting the thing, I think she's probably about to answer my question. I.e., I think she might have proof that'll further bolster the story. Truth.
Eden rolled a 23 in Arcana.
So, Eden, this is gonna take some explaining. You look at this scroll, and it's just a massively complex spell. It's spread out over about 5 feet of scroll, multiple overlays with like the little square of like zoom in on this location kind of thing, expanded further down the page into a full blow up. You can see the initial rune is actually 5 runes connected to each other by lines. One of them is blown up and it basically harnesses energy from the realm of life and sends it cascading in a direction towards the center rune. There's 4 runes all connected to one in the middle. Another one on the outside is a rune connected to the realm of the gods, the astral sea, collecting that energy in a similar fashion, sending it towards the center. All of them specify that the materials are silver. You see the same thing with death and the elements. And as you're looking at it, you're like, oh, these are geographical locations. The realm that connects to life is Wodenkirk. The realm that connects to the gods is Garvarur, the Temple of the Five Pillars. The rune that connects to death is at the Sanguine Fields, where you recently heard there was a big zombie outbreak. And the temple that is connected to the elements is somewhere in the Wakelar, where the kobolds were from. And in the center, a rune that is centered on Black Hill. And the inner ring is specifically not made of silver. It is just packed with residuum, but the outer ring is made of silver. And it has 2 different spells. Most obviously, there is a spell that does exactly what he says. It blows up in a circle, bringing a lot of magma to the surface that would certainly incinerate and kill anyone in the field.
It would be lava.
It brings lava to the surface and would incinerate anyone on the surface outside the walls. And would, according to the calculations that are present on the map, not destroy the city and not kill everyone. But
magma.
Hidden in the symbols is a summoning ritual.
Bad.
And
uh-oh.
From the symbology, you cannot tell what they are summoning. Although you realize, like, the rune you changed will make whatever summons not as trapped as it should be.
Damn it!
But probably much less healthy, if it's something that would be damaged by radiance.
Well, yippee-ki-yay.
So does Eden explain this?
To you or to the king or both?
Yes, to everyone.
Combo mushrooms and talking?
At this point, what other choice do we have?
How does the king react, James?
Oh, tell me what you're explaining, because everything that I'm talking about is everything that you know about, like, the actual summoning part is so hidden in there, it's kind of absurd. And when you look at the other places that are supporting this, it looks like they are partially just absorbing the energy of the blast so it doesn't destroy the city.
Right. Well, I do want to explain that over the past few months, I've had reason to believe that there's more to this procedure than meets the eye, and that you may not have been told the entire truth about it. And
what?
Now
what's
that I
actually,
well, now that I actually have my hands on the final product, I can see that there's some sort of summoning ritual in here. I can't tell exactly who or what is being summoned, but I imagine it probably won't be good.
Perhaps I should have Quinn explain it to me. He's the expert on these things, is he not?
To be honest, I'm not even sure that Quinn understands exactly what is in these plans.
He scrunches his eyebrows at you, like big, bushy, white eyebrows. Are you somehow... I know you're very powerful, but are you somehow more qualified than a academy-trained arcane architect?
No, that's not what I'm saying at all. What I am saying is that if you don't mind me being so bold, if I were to guess, I would say that he's being manipulated by a daughter of Aramane into doing something that he doesn't even realize that he's doing.
He raises an eyebrow at you. And what might that be? Are you implying that our staunch allies intend to have military incinerated along with ours? That they've chosen to fight with us over the last 150 years against this menace only to abandon us now?
James, what would I roll to get a read on... I mean, that'd be insight, right? To see what he's thinking?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm inclined to take a specific action either way, but I want to see how much I'm going to have to stress a point. Ugh, I rolled a 4 in insight.
Whatever question you were going to ask, you're not sure. He seems kind of inscrutable at the moment.
Geege will see what Eden is putting out. And he'll then explain, yes, Your Majesty, it is our belief that the Hobgoblins intend for your kingdom to fall so that they can this later come in and repel the orcs themselves.
He laughs at you. You look like a soldier, but clearly that Crescent of Saloon has addled your mind. You have no understanding of tactics. If they are to lose the majority of their men that they've spent defending this land only to kill us, to lose their buffer so they lose their own lives rather than ours defending their own land, is not a sound strategic maneuver.
It is a sound strategic maneuver if the captain of their enemy is on their side. I believe that Groggle Black Moon is unwittingly one of their agents.
Unwittingly, you say? So this proud, charismatic half-orc is somehow being controlled by the Avzal? How would this happen?
Just so it's clear, everything... I mean, because we weren't there for the Sten sessions, but we'll just say that everything Sten experienced, he told us, right?
Mm-hmm.
Geege will say a former companion of ours met Groggle personally, and he was a fire element. He explained to us that Groggle was a former gladiator in the Avzal, and that within this orc prophecy, he also had a fire within him, but it felt wrong. I believe that the Hobgoblins might have forced this fire into Groggle, so that when he would unite them, they could easily just topple him or use him for whatever means they need.
So, who was this friend of yours?
Eden, do you want to field this?
He's asking about Sten, right?
Yes. Or do you want me to handle it?
I mean, is there something that you think would be better to say that's not the truth, because...
No.
His name is Sten, Your Majesty. He is a half-orc and a close friend and compatriot of both myself and Geege.
So, this friend of yours, the one you want me to abandon my allies and risk my kingdom on, is not only a half-blood with orc as the half, he
Let's not be racist.
He just looks at you.
That was out of character. That was out of character.
But he also has the mark that associates so many of their breed with demonic influence. And you expect me to bet my kingdom on that. And in fact, not just bet my kingdom, but go so far as to blame my closest and only allies. I tire of this.
Demonic influence? What is he talking about?
You said yourself that he was a fire elemental touched by the other planes, not the gods.
Oh, wait, did you say he tires of this, James? Is he not feeling any of this?
He looks like annoyed, whereas before he was like, oh, these kids with their crazy theories.
All right, we need to show some hard proof real quick. I really wish Galena was currently a dwarf. I will motion to everyone, we really need to give him some proof right now. The hobgoblins have done terrible things, so please present proof if you have that now. But seeing that he's losing interest in what we're saying, Geege will really interject. Your Majesty, I understand this all sounds far-fetched, but I believe this summoning will, Geege looks nervously at his arm, will summon a great and dangerous creature. Is my arm hurting, James?
No.
Because I know if I say too much, it's going to do a horrible thing to me. So you just jump in and tell me.
When you start to feel very bad?
Yes, when it starts to hurt, because I'm getting too close to saying something.
Okay.
Geege will say, I believe that it might summon a great and dangerous creature that lays beneath your city.
Oh, it starts to feel real bad.
Geege winces and quite openly grabs his arm.
Okay, Molly is hella confused. Would it also be appropriate for Eden to be hella confused by Geege's wincing and pain and grabbing his arm?
When we thrust our arms into the holes around the Grumsh statue, it implanted some sort of thing in our arms. Do you remember that? And it said,
yes,
it would,
vaguely.
It said it would take what was offered if we spoke of what we saw. Okay. But I'm gonna do that. And I want to see what the king's response is, and hopefully someone can think of some really good proof that the hobgoblins are poo poo. That the hobgoblins are nefarious.
This is the best proof that I have, and I can barely understand it, let alone expect him to understand it. But anyway.
I really wish Winter was playing today, because she would totally offer some incredible insights.
The king looks annoyed and then confused when you grab your arm. And he says, you seem to have some sort of geese on you, boy. You ought to get that checked out by your betters.
Geese? What does that mean?
It is when you have a magical restriction on what you can do.
Hmm. This is going to suck. This is going to suck so hard. Geege will mushroom to Sariel. You might want to get ready to try and drop some heals on me. And he will mushroom to Galena. I know you can freeze things. I'm kind of hoping you might be able to freeze this thing before it does something. Geege will then say, beneath your city, how do I want to say this? See, I have to choose these words carefully.
You say beneath your city, and a line of blood starts to go into your sleeve.
Holy crap.
Geege grits his teeth and then says, Your Majesty, I know you're frustrated with how convoluted this must all sound, but I believe you understand a soldier would not risk life and limb if he did not believe so strongly in his convictions. And I want to say that's a persuade.
You don't need to. He says, and looks at you kind of concerned, he says, I understand that you believe this, but understand that if your belief is true, it is damning for my people. Do you understand that if you place enemies behind us, we will never survive? I must believe that they are behind me to support me, not to stab me in the back.
Okay. Geege is going to remove his coat, and his sleeves are already rolled up because it's usually how he wears it. And he says, if you can believe anything, Your Majesty, believe me and Lady Melon when I say that it would be a disaster for this summoning to be completed. And as he's doing this, he's starting to remove one of his belts from his waist.
He looks down like,
bow, shika, bow, bow.
also sees the blood on your arm and says, if you would just let the clerics look at that, they may be able to remove it. You need not be so drastic.
Now that he's said this, Guise respond, would you believe me less if you were to summon a cleric here to remove this?
I would believe you more if you were in a zone of truth, yes. There are quite a few paladins in my keep right this moment. I will call on them.
Okay, guys, Guise is about to lose an arm.
I'll just mend it.
Yeah, sure. Or if Glenna wants to try and freeze that thing in his arm, that would be pretty cool. But at that, Guise will... Where is the thing currently, James, in Guise's arm? Like it's made a cut.
It's gone from like that kind of bulgy part on your shoulder, just underneath that, to the back of your arm.
Wait, it's that high on the arm?
Yeah.
Oof. If it was lower, I might be willing to do this. That's a lot of arm.
Mm-hmm. You had to stick your arm up to the shoulder to get it in there.
I thought it was more on our forearm before.
Nope. I'm sorry if that was not clear about that.
Damn. I thought that was much, much lower. Okay, I'm going to give someone, anyone, a chance to jump in if perhaps someone does recall an item that's a great piece of proof to show him.
An item?
If it's proof, it's proof. I don't think he can argue with proof. Piece of evidence. Because we can just say things, but that's just hearsay.
Did we take anything? I don't remember taking anything.
What I would suggest right now is everyone go and look at their magic items.
How close am I?
You're like on a rooftop behind one of those raised window things. So you're like out of line of sight, but you know what's going on because of mushrooms.
Okay. I'm going to mushroom mostly to Guise. How do you pray?
I will mushroom back by holding a holy symbol and speaking prayers.
I don't know what prayers are, really. I don't think I have a holy symbol either.
You're aware that you don't need a holy symbol.
Yeah.
Normal people pray all the time. And you do know some prayers, Guise. Like, even before you were a paladin, you knew prayers.
Do you know any to Paylor?
I mean, I think everyone knows a couple prayers to Paylor, right, James?
Yeah. See if you roll a religion to see if you know one off the top of your head, like verbatim.
I critically succeeded with a 20 in religion.
Well, nonsense. Okay.
Because that's probably going to be the first and last time I ever critically succeed a role in religion.
Okay. Yeah, you learned a bunch with Philip that he was supposed to learn, but mostly you learned them.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember a bunch of them. Why, do?
Because I think Mook might be able to help.
Oh. How? As he looks at his bloody arm.
Well, he does stuff with Paylor, so he kind of knows about demony stuff.
All right, you know what? I dig it. That's a lot better than me losing an arm and no one else is piping up. So Guise will recall a prayer to Paylor that calls upon your ancestors. And he's going to mix in pieces of prayers to Saloon that he learned. And then he's going to message that to do, as well as what to do with his hands and stuff.
Okay, sounds good.
Part of these instructions involve getting to like the highest point of the roof and waiting for the moment where the sun, the bottom is just cresting the horizon, so it's like almost a full circle, is the best time to try to contact Paylor, but that time is 45 seconds away.
All right, do praise that sun or I'm losing an arm.
All right, I shall recite the prayer at the opportune moment.
Dupe, you stand on the roof, and one of these things is faith, especially to gods of light, is not supposed to be hidden. So one thing Guise says to you is, gotta be loud.
Oh no.
You can't whisper these things. Gotta not be hidden in any way. Do you still want to do it?
Yeah, it.
All right. So you belt out this prayer to Paylor for guidance from those past and finish right as the sun is a full sphere in the sky. You hear a voice in your head. Hey, that was quick.
Holy shit, it worked.
We only got a little bit. What's up?
Do you know anything about a like big dragon under Black Hill, or maybe some other bad thing under Black Hill?
No, I do know that something bad is going to happen there. The dragon isn't the bad thing.
Oh, do you know what is bad?
Some kind of portal is going to open. It's going to let through that thing that I sealed away. So it'd be kind of a bummer if my big claim to fame down here was that I stopped that thing from getting into the world, and then, you know, it gets in later. So maybe stop it?
The thing you sealed away?
Yeah, the big eye tentacle thing.
Oh, in the Cold Forge?
Yeah, the thing that was making us all crazy in there.
Right, right. Okay, can you make stuff appear here for me that's, like, tangible? Because I need to convince this king, who's being kind of an asshole right now.
Hold up. I'm gonna make a call. And then the sun gets away from the horizon, and, like, this moment where you've just been feeling, like, this perfect warmth all through you, and the world sort of fell away, you are now surrounded by guards who are, like, climbing out of the windows and leveling crossbows at you.
Oh, fuck. This better have been worth it.
So, you guys all witness this, basically, dupe yell out this very traditional prayer, and then go slack with his arms spread wide to the rising sun. And a moment later, you see a burst of light from the tower.
Wait, what tower?
The black tower where Quinn was.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
All the Ooh. Windows do like a nova out of them.
Whoa.
And you hear a voice that like resonates through your soul and your bones scream out, "This city is doomed. Repent."
Wait, only Duke can hear this, or we can all hear it?
Everyone can hear this in the city.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, thank goodness. I get to keep my arm.
Uh-oh.
The roof of the tower kind of explodes, and two big radiant wings peek out of it, and somewhat of a flaming sword, and it says, "Change your path. Fight to the last to save the light."
No,
and then,
that's not what I wanted.
There is a blast of different kinds of light in there, and you see this, it can only be described as an angel. It is armor being worn by light, get pushed out of the building, and it screams again, "Evil resides here amongst you. Seek them out and destroy them. Burn them with radiant light." And it rushes forward, and you see Kui fighting with him.
Oh, snap.
Dang.
Oh my god, is that Tyrael?
Gish emphatically points at Kui fighting an angel. and looks at the king like, see?
He says, "What in Palor's name is going on? That can't be an angel. They don't appear. They are not meant for this place."
You're welcome.
The king calls out to the guards and says, "In Palor's name, we must help that angel." And rushes down, and Armsman comes out and gives him a real sword, and they all start rushing towards that tower.
Oh, thank goodness. I get to keep my arm.
Am I still on hold?
Basically, like, these guys don't know what's up. They are very clearly disturbed by this yellen being of light up there that is kind of hard to see in the dawn light, in that it is almost another sun in the sky. But do you guys follow King Solemn?
I am down to follow just because I really want him on our side. And if he dies, it's hard to have him on our side.
Yeah, we should follow him.
I fly after him.
Is the angel voice Mook?
No.
Is the king wearing a crown?
No, he's wearing nice trousers, boots, and a white shirt. He's like a 50, 60-year-ish old man.
Can I try to sit on his shoulder?
Yes.
Okay.
He looks over as he's charging up, as men around him like try to get in front of him because they don't want him rushing in first. But it seems like that's what he's going to do.
I'm going to try and stay near him.
Okay. You manage to basically be on his heels or right next to him the entire time. And the battle between the angel and Kui takes to the sky as Kui starts to fly around.
I knew it. I knew she could fly.
Can I still fly?
Yeah. Eden hasn't lost concentration yet.
Oh!
Oh, hell yeah, I'm flying up there.
Well, then I'm gonna fly alongside the tower rather than run up the tower.
Okay, so you're not staying with the king here, you're just going ahead.
Yes.
Because he cannot keep up with you while you're flying.
Right, correct. And Gij will shout back at Eden, "Eden, don't get hit!"
Yeah, okay. Please don't make us fall to our deaths.
Dupe, do an 18, an 8, or a 10 hit you?
No.
Dupe, these guys with crossbows just like clink, clink, clink off your armor as you just Superman into the sky. And they look even more confused.
Oh, hell yeah.
Kui is fighting with this angel, and she seems to be winning. Like,
oh,
she throws out some weird black lightning that seems to strike it and infect the light areas, so he has, like, some dark areas on him. And the large flaming sword of light seems to sputter and get smaller. But she also doesn't seem great. She does not look perfect and ethereal anymore. In fact, has a couple of cuts. He hit her with the sword and it made a cut. And she flies back. And as you guys are flying towards her, they are flying away from the tower and towards the Unbreakable Temple. She is retreating towards it. What do you guys want to do?
I want to try and cut her off.
Yeah, let's go after her.
Oh, snap. It's happening. We're doing it.
You guys are having a cool sky battle. This is going to be a skills challenge. Stop Kui from getting to wherever she's going and help her not just wreck this angel.
I want to say, just as I see Eden and Dupe start flying that way, I get close to them and I cast Bless on myself and them. So this way, when we have to do a saving throw for this skills challenge, we can add a d4.
Ooh, nice.
So Dupe, Gij, and Eden are blessed?
Yes. I can only bless 3 people. And while I'm sure Glenna was flying with us, we are in human form, so.
Okay. Well, that's a good question. Is Galena flying with you, or is she riding on the king's shoulder?
I'll stay with the group.
Okay, so you have 3 brave heroes and 2 birds. I mean, 3 birds flying with you. Just normal-ass birds. as you fly into this battle between a quasi-goddess and an angel. And I want you to roll initiative, see who goes first. Actually, I think we're going to wrap there. The 3 of you in people form fly forward at rapid speeds, Eden keeping you alight with her wind powers, and then 3 birbs, a crow, a puffin, and a small owl, all fly in formation, rushing this very scary angel and quasi-goddess who are currently duking it out in the sky above Black Hill. And there we will wrap for the evening.
Intense.
That was such an anime ending.
This is some superhero stuff. This is amazing.
You guys are high level, did you know?
Apparently.
Our heroes have made their case to progressively higher powers, but will they get in trouble for going over too many heads? Find out next time on Sometimes Heroes. Let's introduce our players. Mark. Mark?
Mac.
Mac. And it seems Mark is having issues?
Hi, Mark? I am Mark, and I play Gij, resident there. Dad.
He hasn't quite hit 100% dad power yet. Mark, you here? Mac. Nope. Noop, the contradictory brother of Moop and Doop.
How dare you?
I know. I'm sorry to belittle your guys' names. You know how there's the call to adventure? I just assume that Noop was the one who stayed.
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Mark's computer's having a tough time. It's a bad day.
Well, this is fun.
So very fun. Don't worry, we'll get going in a second.